Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
God shall judge between the nations and arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's an impossible thing to think about, really. Like swords into plowshares. It's crazy. I mean, this isn't supposed to be a plowshare. Like, we made this for a reason. We all have them. They might not look quite like this, but we have our swords, and we use them. They keep us safe, so we think. Nations certainly have them. We have them a lot bigger than this. We don't even need these anymore. We can turn metal into something much more destructive than this. So Isaiah and Micah, they had this crazy image. It was really an impossible image. Isaiah doesn't hear the word, he sees the word. When we hear words, what's it like to see it? What's it like to see a word, to see something as brutal and destructive as what this could be, to see it transformed? Well, Isaiah had an idea. His image was this, that God was going to transform those into these. Micah had the same idea, that nations would put these down and they would hold these up. But guess what? The only way for a nation to put this down and to pick this up is if the people did it. And so that's what Isaiah told us all about. That God's dream, this dream that Isaiah could see, was that the people were going to transform this into that. That's what God was waiting on. That sounds crazy. There's a theologian and an activist. He lives in Philadelphia. And some people think he's a prophet. A lot of people think he's crazy. So I want to listen to what he has to say for just a couple minutes about this image. We're embodying the seeing the word right now, people. We will not hear the word. We're embodying seeing it, and that's shame.
And I love that
vision.
We're going
to go back to the beginning.
So much so that we
actually, here we go. Let's
in the Bible, the prophets Micah and Isaiah say this. They say, God looks down and says, my people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then nation will not rise up against nation, and people will study war no more. It's this amazing vision of people beating their swords into plows, turning instruments of death into tools for peace and for life. And I love that vision. So much so that we actually met some blacksmiths and some welders that were like, we're ready to do it. So we started doing it. We invited people to donate weapons if they had them, and they you know, wanted to not see them used for death, but to see them converted, you know, to something else. We turned an AK-47 into a rake and a shovel, and then we took another AK-47 and it made three little hand trowels. I'm convinced that one of the things that we need a movement of is a movement of life, of Christians and others who are committed to this idea that every person is precious. I live in Philadelphia, which we have almost one homicide a day. And there's been a powerful movement where people of faith and conscience have gathered outside of gun shops and began vigiling, began raising questions about where the kids get the guns. And that started for me not as an issue, a debate around gun control, but it started when a 19-year-old kid was killed on my front porch. And that was what stirred in me this idea that, wow, what is God's dream for the world? I'm pretty sure it's not for one kid to die every day in Philadelphia of gun violence and not 10,000 people in the United States to die of homicides and gun violence. So let's reimagine our country. Let's reimagine the world, because it doesn't have to stay the way it is.
In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways and that we may walk in God's paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, the prophet Isaiah imagined conversion in a literal, material way. Instruments that are used to take life converted to implements that sustain life. It's an economy turned upside down. We call it the Advent way. They called it God's way. The curriculum that says we're called to learn war is lost, left behind. And instead, we learn the ways of God. Whatever peaceable future awaits us at the end of this Advent season, this seems clear to me. The promise is that we are being enjoined together to walk in the light of God. And God's light is taking us to a new place, one that's upside down and inside out. This is our invitation this Advent, to walk in the light of God toward the promise of hope and peace and love. It says that God's own justice and peace will occur among the nations, not just among individuals, but among all the nations in the days to come. And you could really laugh at that, I think. Like, think how absurd that actually sounds. In the days to come, nation will not lift up sword against nation. Really? I'm done waiting. Like, if that's really going to happen, it seems like yesterday would have been a good time. It seems impossible to say to a kid who's on the streets right now in Afghanistan, who wants to dance like Eric did, that just wait. It seems crazy to look at a kid who's born down the street or a kid who's born in a nation that's torn apart by war and say, we're just waiting. We're waiting. God is going to do these things. Well, if it's going to happen, it seems like yesterday would have been the moment. So what is it? Is it just like naive religious hope? Well, we'll sit back and say God is going to take care of it. How long are we going to wait? Perhaps all that we can really say about this text and about faith, about following Jesus, is that this points to the way that God is at work and alive in the world. That's the truth of it. And we often traditionally think about Advent as our time or season of waiting. But what if it's God who's waiting on us? What if that's the waiting? It's God's waiting for us to take that next step and to walk in the light toward peace and possibility, toward this crazy image of swords being turned into plowshares. What if that's what Jesus meant when he talked about the reign of God? And the reign that Jesus talked about is both here and now and not yet. So we're waiting for it to come in its fullness, but we're called to walk in the light as we wait. There's a preacher. His name is George Arthur Buttrick. And he described it this way in a really powerful sermon for me this week. We saw it in Jesus, who converted fear to love, lunacy to sanity, enemies to friends. Jesus died surrounded by swords. He died as nails pierced his body. They entered infinite love, and it was melted into light. That's the Advent way. That's the way of God, the way of Jesus, that a spear and nails are melted through infinite love in the form of a holy human being named Jesus into light. That's the journey that we begin this Advent. Advent marks the beginning of the church's year. The church tells time differently than the rest of the world. Our time, our calendar begins right now at Advent because we can't just walk headlong into the mystery of Christmas. We have to get ready for it. And we get ready by walking in the light together. See, it would be beautiful to think that the church had responded to that invitation over all these years. And the church had been the kind of place that Shane talked about and imagined. We've been walking in the light all along, but it hasn't. And it isn't, and it may never be. It may never walk fully in the light of God. But our call is still to turn swords to plowshares and to learn God's ways. But the truth is, too often the church has been the sword, and religious leaders have been the spears. See, what if part of learning to walk in the light of God this Advent season is learning to hold the promise that Shane talked about there, that Isaiah preached about so many generations ago, that we're called to embody light and hope and possibility? That if those swords are going to be turned to plowshares, we might need to be the first ones to actually take that step, that God's waiting on that. So we're going to take some steps this Advent, some concrete steps, because you can't get a more concrete image than a sword into a plowshare in Isaiah's day. And so we have one way that we want to see the church turn itself from spear or sword into plowshare. And that's this, that half of our Christmas offering is going to go in the future to support students. To support students who want to do church differently, who want to explore the possibility that God has for them in this space. We want to help them. We want them to help us. We imagine young artists, dancers, musicians, video makers. Sacramento State is just a few blocks away. We want part of our Christmas offering to help us build bridges with young, creative people who will help us walk in the way of light. And so we're going to do just that. We're going to take half of our Christmas offering and say, these young people might help us figure out how to turn this sword into that plowshare. And it's probably going to happen in a creative way that we have yet to imagine. And so we're going to call on young artists and musicians, dancers, to help us follow in the way of Jesus. And it's not enough to just focus on how God is coming to life in this space. So we're already working with some students over at UC Davis. And in just a few weeks, this will turn into a place for homeless folks on the street to be right here, to make this their home. And the second way that we're going to partner and walk in the light this Advent season is we're going to join with United Methodists all around the world to help make an impact on a disease that's devastating sub-Saharan Africa. Half of our Christmas offering is going to go to directly help and aid families and communities who long to walk in the light where they are and need a little bit of hope at this moment. And so that's the second place. Let's watch and learn a little more about it. That's changing the world for better. That's church. Isaiah said it this way: many people coming and saying, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and God may teach us God's ways, that we may walk in God's paths. That's what it looks like to walk in the light in this Advent time. But what is God waiting on us to transform? What swords might God be waiting for us to beat into plowshares? What spears is God needing us to turn into pruning hooks? We think some of those are, as a community, to accompany more and more young people as they try on their gifts and graces that God has for them and help us learn to do church differently. And we also trust that by partnering with United Methodists from around the world through this campaign of Imagine No Malaria, we can do something big with God to turn those swords to plowshares. There's a thing about timing in the church, and usually the church is late to everything. That's my experience anyways. And the church decided that Tuesday of this week, that any dollar that goes to Imagine No Malaria is going to be matched. Well, that's great, because the Christmas offering is on Christmas, right? But Christmas isn't Tuesday. Advent is Tuesday. So we're going to take a risk. Our finance team is going to take a risk. Last year, we had around $5,000, almost $6,000 came in for our Christmas offering, and it helped us to offer housing to unhoused folks in this place, and to do a lot of other things too. And this year, we're going to trust that that money or more is going to come in for a Christmas offering. And so on Tuesday, we're going to make a big gift so that the United Methodist Church matches it. And we're going to trust that people are led by God to give in these creative and dynamic ways to turn those swords into plowshares. And that Christmas isn't Tuesday, but we're going to make that gift right away, trusting that God is there with us. Because that's what it takes to walk in the light of God, is to go out into those risky places and see what happens. To risk being called a naive dreamer. Why would you do that? You should wait and see what comes in and then give half. That's not very strategic. I love strategy. This is pushing every edge of me. Mark is our finance chair. He's with me on this. Risk is not what you're supposed to do. Well, maybe that's what it's been like to learn the ways of war, though. It's not to risk and to trust in God's love and grace, to get caught up in thinking about the sword is going to protect us. And maybe God is calling us to put it down. That's certainly what Isaiah said. And to be clear, that is not the easiest. And it certainly isn't the most reasonable. How many ways do we hide behind this? Like as a nation, or as a community, or as an individual? Like what ways do we have these that we don't even think about? What's it going to take for us to let go and to allow God to transform some of those into something that's useful. To take that thing that brings death and turn it into something that sustains life. What patterns or practices have you gotten caught up in? We just came out of Thanksgiving. If you're not aware of all your family issues right now, something is wrong. We've got swords all over the place in this room, myself included. So what's it going to look like for me to walk in the light and to allow this to be shaped and formed? There's a church that I read about. It's in St. Louis. It's a small chapel, really, that was created by Jesuits. And what they did was they took bombshells, cannon shells, from the early part of the 20th century, and they converted them. They melted them down. They took out the lethal contents of it, and they made lights, light holders that are in the sanctuary of that little chapel, light fixtures. So they placed them up there, and now those things that once destroyed light and life are now holding the light that is guiding the way that people are walking into that sanctuary through. But at some moment, I picture some really old Jesuit saying, look at this stuff. We could turn these into light fixtures. And I picture somebody like me saying, that's crazy. Like, I don't know how to weld. And that didn't stop him. He said, somebody does. And then they found that person. And then there were enough of them to silence the folks like me that would say, nah, let's not risk it. And then they found more and more. Someone had to take a first step in turning that sword into a plowshare, in turning that bomb into a light fixture. What is your first step going to look like? Who are you going to come alongside and accompany this Advent as you walk in that light? What is God waiting for you to see changed in your own life and in our community?